It wears people's faces like masks.
Critics rave. Smile is haunting and unforgettable. It's truly terrifying and deliciously creepy.
This is not real.
It's real.
Smile. Rated R. Now playing only in theaters.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice still of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have our team here tonight, they're our producer, none other than the Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have Randy Gay.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
Alrighty. And of course, we have Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Now, folks, we're going to do this tonight. We're going to start out America. America needs prayer. America really does. And we stand in the shadow of a holy and a just and an almighty God. And a holy God must punish sin. That's what holy gods do. And boy, America is in trouble, big trouble. Now, God has given you the remedy. God knows everyone who is listening to this radio program tonight. God is aware of that. He knows you're there. He knows what you're thinking. You say, well, how could God possibly do that? Well, that's what God does, okay? He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. Now, we're going to go to prayer, and I'm going to ask all of you to go and pray along with me, because there's power in prayer. And believe me, God is listening. He knows. So join with me tonight, all of you out there, as we pray for America tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we, the people, your people here, we're the people, Lord, that when that court in 1962 in Washington, D.C., that court that called themselves supreme, when they were only supreme in their rebellion and their sin, Lord, when they expelled you from the public school system, when they told you you weren't wanted and needed now, in that school system because, well, the other guy came in, the opposition, the devil himself. They left that door wide open. And, Lord, we're the people when the pastors failed, when the pastors could not find the courage that they needed to march on Washington, D.C. and put that corrupt court on trial for treason against God and country. We're the people that encouraged the pastors to stand. We're the ones, Lord, that would ask him, stand up and fight. Don't be afraid. Do not fail your God again. But the pastors, all except for just a remnant, just a very small percentage, Lord, they failed. They found ways to take and twist Romans chapter 13 in the Bible to make it say that they had to obey a corrupt government because they didn't have the courage to stand up against it. And then in 1973, when that corrupt court again, when they declared you dead, and they declared themselves to be God, when they said, we will take what God has said is unlawful, and we will make it legal by license. We will allow you, if you purchase a license from the state with mammon, we will allow you to destroy the very image of God. We will place ourselves as God. And again, we were the people, your people, Lord, that encouraged, that told the pastors, stand up, pastors, stand up. It's your time, pastors, stand up. A march on D.C., go in there. Put that corrupt, ungodly, Satan-filled court on trial for treason against God and all humanity. But you pastors, they failed you again, Lord. But we didn't. We tried. We stood. We fought. We continued. And we fought. And we've been fighting against the evil all of this time, when the vast majority wanted to stay in the comfort zone. They feared government more than they did you, and they definitely did not want to lose their 501c3. My gosh, no. They wanted to hold on to that. And they didn't want to offend the corrupt courts. They were afraid the IRS would come and take away their property. But we were the ones, Lord, remember, that continued to try to make them stand up and be men and play the men. And then, Lord, when they went in, they took your divine institution of marriage and they made something dirty out of it. When they polluted that, where was the outrage? Well, you had a few more. You had some. I praise the Lord. I praise you for the ones you did raise up, the ones that had some courage to stand up and say, this is wrong. But again, they failed to put that corrupt court on trial. And here we are again now, Lord, as we come before you. We're in a police state. We have a government that is so corrupt. We have a man in the White House, Lord, that's a pedophile, who's evil to the bone, who hates you and he hates your people. We have a attorney general who hates you. He hates pro-lifers. He hates Christians. He hates patriots. He's a corrupt and extremely corrupt man. We had the FBI, which was at one time, it was an agency that had some integrity. They actually fought against the horrors of communism, and today those in charge have gone over and they become the very enemy of America that they once fought against. And tonight, here we come, Lord. We're here to you. And we're asking, Lord, remember us. Put us in that book of remembrance where those that we stood our ground, we didn't back up, we didn't stand down. We continue to ask you, Lord God, to raise up the righteous. We know, Lord God, and that in your righteous vengeance, you use your elect to execute judgment on the wicked and the evil. And Lord, so we're asking you tonight to raise up your righteousness, your bold, godly people, pastors with the courage to rebuke and refute these corrupt judges that have gone a-whoring, these corrupt politicians, Lord, that have gone a-whoring. We're asking you, Lord, to raise up righteous and bold and honorable and courageous men to stand in the gap for our nation. We know, Lord, that our sewers have run red with the blood of the innocent. Because the pastors failed you. They failed you. When the time come to stand and be bold, they tucked tail and they ran. And so, Lord, we're asking you to raise up godly, righteous, bold men. Father God, out there to stand now in this time and to rebuke the corrupt judges, to rebuke these corrupt politicians, and to lead the people as Christian soldiers with their eyes upon that cross of Jesus. So we're asking you, Lord, tonight to remember us and to hear us and to answer our prayers. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 That was almost a sermon.
Amen.
Alrighty. Yes. Alrighty. Now, speaking of messages, the title of the message was God's Righteous Vengeance. And God does use his elect to execute vengeance on his enemies. And tonight we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, and you pick it up in verse 15, Randy.
All right, got it.
Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus say the Lord of hosts, I remember that when Amalek did to Israel, how he laid waste for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, and infant, and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered all the people together, and numbered them, and tell them, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for they showed kindness. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, and over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile they refused, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from the following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Saul, saying, or was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone about down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said unto Saul, unto him, Blessed be thou, the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?
And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spareth the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made in the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord said, sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until thou consumest. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and did not fly upon the spoil, and does evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep, oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in the obeying of the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Behold, thou hast rejected the voice of the Lord. He hath also rejected from thee being king.
And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, which because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away, and he laid hold upon the skirt of the mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me, and I may worship the Lord God. So Samuel turned again from Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither unto me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely thy bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord of Gilgal. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house of Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Okay, so how do you think you can justify the Lord killing all the men, women, children, even the babies? How could you justify that?
Because all that is corrupt is like he says, it's like leaven. It'll ultimately work its way back through the people, permeate the society, and then they'll turn from him.
But didn't God himself say to Jonah, should I destroy those that don't know the left from the right? In other words, those that are not at the age of discernment in Nineveh?
But while they were a threat, God gives everybody time, and there's an end to the patience of God. Because when they came through the first time, he had them not wipe them out, not destroy them, but it continued.
Okay, so the Amalekites were the very first people to attack Israel when God sent them into the Promised Land.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said, go into this land now. I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Was it God's to give?
Oh, yes.
So now, let me ask you this. They were a wicked people. The Amalekites were like Democrats today. They were like Democrats. And I'm not saying that to be mean or nasty. It's just true. Democrats are for abortion. They're for sodomy. They're for pedophilia if it's a sin.
And they're against God, too. Okay. So.
Yes.
And they're totally against God, okay? In fact, we're going to be showing, Lord's willing, a film in church on Sunday And it's one that shows, it goes in especially Hollywood, and it shows you some of these people, that fellow that played in that movie, oh, when I'm having one of my senior moments where it was the fellow that was in the Vietnam War, and he got out, he made the statement that Mama always said that life is like a box of chocolates.
Oh, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, well, the guy that played Forrest Gump.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, that's who I'm trying to think of. He's in there, and this guy, watching what he's doing with these little girls in this film, it shows you just how corrupt, but boy, and all of NBC, ABC, CBS, they all know this, and Fox News, and yet they idolize this wicked man, Tom Hanks. And but when you see what he's doing, okay, so here, the Amalekites were very, very wicked people. And if God had destroyed just the adults and not the children, what would have become of the children?
Well, they'd have become the adults. You'd have still had the same issue.
Yes.
No, children need adults to raise them. You see, little children cannot raise themselves.
Oh, you're talking about the very small children.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but you see, now here, let me ask you this. Okay, is God omniscient? Does he know what the future holds?
Sure.
Yes.
So does he know that those children, because of the wickedness, because their parents would offer children up as sacrifices, was God totally cognizant that those children would be better if he brought them home with him?
Yes.
Yeah.
But now if we say that, won't the opposition use that very same logic for saying, well, therefore, that justifies abortion?
Well, they might say that, but that's not true. Because only the giver of life can take life.
Yes.
All right, so God says, if I decide, if I choose, okay, to kill and then make a life, who can argue with
that? Well, God owns everything. He created everything, so God has that right. And nobody else does, because nobody else has that right or that ability.
I'll bet Craig thinks he does. All right. No. All right, so now here. So God knows in advance. His ways are so much higher than our ways. Did he know from eons ago that this was going to happen, it was going to go this way?
Yes, he did.
So he was all prepared, isn't he?
Well, didn't he say, as they exited the Promised Land, that the iniquity of the Amorites was not complete yet? In other words, he knew they were going to do what they did, but they hadn't done it yet. And that's exactly what he meant.
Was Saul more concerned with pleasing the people and being liked among the people than he was pleasing God?
He absolutely was, because he never really repented. He was more concerned in this whole episode with saving face when he said to Samuel, okay, I've sinned, but honor me in front of the people. Don't do this in front of them.
Well, he said, you know, it was the people kept all those sheep and those oxen and all those things. Now, the tradition back in those days where normally, when you would go to war with the tribes like that, they would kill off all the men and they would keep the women as servants. But the men that were of fighting age would be killed off automatically, and the children would be kept as servants. Now, God told them, no, don't do that.
Right.
So Saul, he didn't take responsibility. He said, you know, it was the people. Look at the people here. I feared the people, right?
Well, exactly. He felt the people more than God, because the people wanted to sacrifice, so he let them sacrifice, and he said, we're going to sacrifice to you. But it's in direct contrast or conflict with what God had told him to do.
So did Joe Biden, did he fear AOC and the Squat and Bernie Sanders and these people more than and Obama? Did Joe Biden fear them more than God?
Yes,
he does.
So he wanted to please them more than God.
Yes.
What about Merrick Garland? Did Merrick Garland want to do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Samuel, he called Saul out by name.
Yes, he did.
Should not the pastors in this country be calling Joe Biden out by name?
But they but they fear the people, too.
Mm-hmm.
They fear the IRS.
The
501c3?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to lose that, do they?
They fear other things more than God, whether it's at getting reelected, whether it's being at odds with the squad. There's so many factions that they're afraid of. You name your poison. Whichever faction they feel helped them become what they are. It's like whoever helps you get elected, that's who they fear.
So do they need to repent of that?
They need to never have embraced that.
Big time, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this. Don't go away, more to come.
There's a man who leads a life of bondage to the federal government. He pays his homage. Seems the more he tries to make, the more they tax and take. Odds are he won't live to pay his mortgage. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you've signed your name. Back when we were strangled by depression, while FDR was selling out the nation, there was devised an evil scheme. It was a wicked tyrant's dream. Nine numbers now that chain you to their system. A U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you've signed your name.
In March of 1933, President FDR declared the bankruptcy of a private corporation known as the Federal U.S. Government. In order to con the American people into paying this fraudulent debt, he set up the Social Security Act. When you sign your Social Security card, you unwittingly become a federal U.S. citizen, pledging your life, liberty, and property as surety for a debt you don't owe. In other words, you become a federal debt slave to your federal master, Uncle Samuel.
Now don't despair, there is a sure solution. Sure to start a righteous reformation. You can refuse to play their game. We send the number off your name. Just file the forms and drop out of the system. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you signed your name. Now you don't have to play their game. Don't let the fraud enslave your name. Resend the number off your name.
Ready, we are back. And again, we have a whole lot to talk about tonight. All right, starting here. DOJ resurrects Civil War era charge against patriotic Christian. It faces rarely used accusations. And the article, now, I will say to the folks that we have changed some of the words in here because it's the right thing to do. We're telling the truth, right?
Okay, That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, the corrupt Democratic prosecutors claim this Civil War era charge strikes to the heart of what happened that day, which they believe was coordinated effort to stop the transfer of presidential power. They don't believe that. They lied. They're corrupt to the core, and they know that, okay? Stuart Rhodes and his followers are the first January 6th defendants to stand trial on such a charge. The corrupt Justice Department hasn't tried a seditious conspiracy case in a decade and hasn't won a guilty verdict since 1995. The prosecution of Islamic militants who plotted to bomb New York City landmarks. The corrupt Democratic prosecutors claims that Rhodes and the Oath Keepers spent weeks preparing to stop Joe Obama from becoming president. Rhodes, a Texan, allegedly recruited members to come to Washington, amassed weapons, that's alleged, this, oh my, and organized armed teams to be on standby outside the city in case they were needed, authorities say. The plot came to a head, according to persecutors, on January 6th, when the Christian Patriot Oath Keepers were captured on camera moving through the crowd of presidential Donald Trump's patriotic supporters and moving into the Capitol in a military style stack formation. The Patriot Christian Oath Keepers, for their part, have said that their preparations, training gear, and weapons were to protect themselves from the potential attacks of the fascist, antichrist, left-wing Antifa activists, or to be ready if Trump invoked the Insurrection Act to call upon militia to support his bid to stay in power, which was rightfully his, and he, right. Donald Trump, is still the legitimate president of the United States, and all of them in fake news media that say that's not true, they're lying, and they know they're lying. And there's not one of them out there, not one of them, would have the courage to come on this program and sit across from me. Not one. Rhodes said there was no plan to attack the Capitol, and the members who went inside went rogue. Jury selection started on Tuesday for the trial that is expected to last several weeks. What is seditious conspiracy? The law was enacted after the Civil War to arrest Southerners who might keep fighting the U.S. government. In order to win a seditious conspiracy case, corrupt Democratic communist prosecutors have to prove that two or more people conspired to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the U.S. government, or bring war against it, or they plotted to use force to oppose the authority of the government or to block the execution of a law. Rhodes, Kelly, Meggs, Jessica Watkins, Kenneth Harrelson, and Thomas Caldwell aren't charged with conspiring to overthrow the government or a levy war. Instead, persecutors charged that they conspired to forcibly oppose the authority of the very corrupt federal government and forcibly block the execution of laws governing the transfer of presidential power. Specifically, the Oath Keepers are accused of conspiring to forcibly obstruct the execution of the Electoral Count Act and the 12th Amendment of the Constitution, which addresses seditious conspiracy and calls for up to 20 years behind bars if convicted. I'm going to tell you right now, not one of those, they would be so hard pressed. Bring on John McTernan is with us here. Big John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
I'm reading this article here. The DOJ resurrects Civil War charge against the Christian patriots. So hang with me here. So this is conspiracy calls for up to 20 years behind bars if convicted. Rhodes and his associates also face several other serious charges. A total of 9 members or associates of the Oath Keepers are fighting seditious conspiracy charges. A second trial for the Oath Keepers charged in the case is to begin at the end of November. 3 other Oath Keepers have already pleaded guilty to seditious conspiracy or cooperated with investigators that could testify against Rhodes and at trial. Rhodes' lawyers have claimed in court documents that these Oath Keepers are lying and pleaded guilty only because they were pressured by the government and hoped to get lighter sentences. I'm going to just stop there. You know, I spoke on more than one occasion to the Oath Keepers. I went down. Every one of these men that I met made a profession of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every one of them believed in God, the Bible, the Constitution, and the American way. That's not that panel, that corrupt, and I mean extremely and completely and totally corrupt panel in Washington, D.C. They're not worthy to tie the shoes of these Oath Keepers. What do you say, John McTernan?
Well, Pastor Ernie, if they're upholding the Constitution and they're within the bounds of the Constitution, absolutely right. I mean, we have seen time and time again, look what the FBI did to President Trump. Knowing they used documents that were falsely presented to the FISA court, knowing that it was really coming from Hillary Clinton. Isn't that correct, Pastor Ernie?
Absolutely. They knew it. That she, they were to protect Hillary with her hammer, her smashing. And, you know, all of the corrupt things she did, they were to protect her no matter what.
Right. And they, Mueller, with the special prosecutor, knowing that all of this information was lies, they kept on year after year after year with President Trump. So they have no credibility, Pastor Ernie. Now, even going into what happened on January 6th, there were loads of FBI agents there. I see them as majority of them were agents called agent provocateurs. We know that windows were open from the inside. Doors were open from the inside and all. So this was a government, for the most part, it was a government operation against, you know, luring the people in and then ending up with this. This was planned. What they have now, going on now, I believe was planned before January 6th by the FBI and the Justice
Department. Well, you're right. We're going to be playing a clip at the after the top of the hour by John Gundolo, who is a former FBI agent and high-ranking agent, and he's saying exactly what you did. He was there. They recognized a bunch of these rogue FBI agents there doing exactly what you said, John.
Well, so the FBI has zero credibility, zero, no credibility. It is actually a criminal cartel now. That's what it is.
Well, you better watch it. About 150 of them's coming to your house. You know? Well, nah, let's just say you're in your 70s, so it would take no less than 70 of them with their all their toys and guns to come and get you.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I do have, I still believe that me and you have a First Amendment right. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, we do.
Now, of course, with them, it doesn't really mean that much. But what we have spoken here, isn't it the truth?
Well, absolutely. And I want to say this. Look, I still know some FBI agents that are not that way. They're every bit of good American as you and I are, and they believe in the Constitution. And so I don't want to lump them all together with these cowboys, these little fellas who got all their new toys and they got their combat gear and they want to go out and knock people's doors down and point guns in the face of little children and scare them, okay, maybe shoot their dog. You know, no, I'm not comparing these other FBI agents, but my question to the good guys, is this what you signed up for? Is this what you signed up for? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You have a responsibility. You may have heard me start this radio program off, and we said a prayer, and we prayed, and in that, I'm a pastor, been one for half a century now, but we prayed because we recognized that the people that have failed our Lord more than any other, even more than the FBI, are pastors. But it was my responsibility to tell the truth. And you guys out there, you FBI agents that are still in there, and you're saying, well, you know, I just want to kind of keep low-key until I can retire. Get out of here. No, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility before Almighty God in that nation, that oath you took to your country to do the right thing. And I'm going to tell you, you'll either do the right thing or you will regret it. Read the Word of God, right? So there you go. What do you think, John?
Well, you're absolutely right, Pastor Ernie. And what's happened, though, is how do we know the good FBI agents from the bad FBI agents now? I mean, it's so tainted.
Well, John Gundolo will tell you the good FBI agents would be the ones that are blowing the whistle and sounding up and speaking up to the corrupt ones.
Well, yeah, Yeah, no, I understand that. And hey, and thank God for them. Praise the Lord for them. The FBI is so corrupt now that they'll do anything to destroy, I imagine, an agent telling the truth about them. But us as citizens, how do we know if we engage the FBI, an FBI agent, that they are good guy, a white hat or a black hat?
Well, you don't, but what you have to do is you have to have discernment, and discernment means we know what's happening, and so we don't trust them. We don't trust them at all, not one little bit, okay?
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, years ago, okay, there was an FBI agent or any federal agent, well, just any federal agent, but the FBI that was caught. I remember there was an FBI agent years and years and years ago that was in counterintelligence, and he was a big spy for Russia. I don't remember his name, but I remember that happening. At that point, I didn't think all FBI agents were corrupt, and all I was glad that they got this guy and stopped him leaking the vital information and all. But it's come to 2022 when I don't trust any of them. How can you now? How can you? They've destroyed their integrity. And here's what happens, Pastor Ernie. I'm sure, I don't know what the polls say, but I'm sure there is a very large, significant percent of the population now that has tremendous mistrust in the FBI as an organization, so the organization taints everybody. And the FBI has to really operate with the people behind them, right? I mean, otherwise, what do you have? They can't alienate 60-70% of the population and expect to be like effective. They become more like the way the KGB was with the people.
They are, so but John, you know this. I think he's going to speak to that. This former agent, John Gondola, will be playing it. And what he says basically is that the majority of those agents, they still want, you know, they still hold to obeying the Constitution, and they're ashamed. The majority of them are ashamed of what the cowboys are, you know, and I shouldn't use that word cowboys because, you know, what it does is it disrespects real cowboys, but those guys, what the dirty cops, what the dirty 30 are doing, the majority of FBI agents are totally against that, but they're not the ones in charge. The ones in charge, like Chris Wray and others, and so they just want to hang in there, and they want to get their retirement, take an early retirement, just get out of there. They just want to get out, jump ship, and because the agency has gone so bad. Now, can you picture this? Look, let's just say you're in a Baptist church. Now, you know, children have, you know, good meaning sometimes, but children are children. And so you're an FBI agent, and you go to a church, say like our church, and you're in there, and you're born again, Bible believing. But one of the children in the church says to the FBI agent's children, you know, my mom and dad says that the FBI is really corrupt. You guys are doing bad things, and you're really corrupt and not good people. How do you think the FBI agents' children are going to feel about that, even though they're good, clean Christians?
Are they going to be crushed?
Well, that's what's happening, according to what we're hearing out there. And so this is why we're encouraging those agents, the good guys, the clean agents, to stand your ground. See, John, is it now or never? I mean, it's right now. Is this the time they have to stand their ground and do the right thing, or is it never?
Pastor Ernie, it's every single patriot out there's time to stand their ground. Now, I think we can't expect maybe the FBI, the clean ones, to stand their ground if the people behind them out here aren't.
All right. We see the Bible all the way, starting all the way in Genesis with Noah. We see the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, the doctrine of all the way through Revelation. We see it with Shiphrah and Puah and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Well, just go to Moses. Just go to the book Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. It's filled from top to bottom. And the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, when the king failed to do the thing that's right, then his people are charged with stepping up. Does that not apply? Does God not expect those in the FBI to stand up and become the lesser magistrates?
I would expect that he would, Pastor Ernie, that first of all, they have the spiritual, what you just mentioned spiritually, but we also have the Constitution and the oath that you took when you became a federal agent is to defend the Constitution against enemies.
But John, who did you take that oath to? The Bible, and God trumps the Constitution.
Well, no, what I'm saying, Pastor Ernie, there's a double edge, there's a double thing in that. There's to God, what we owe to God, but also when we took the oath about the Constitution. I took it when I became an agent.
I took it, too. And I can honestly say, and I know you can, too, I've done my very, very best to keep the oath. I've never stepped back on it.
I'm tongue tied here, but I'm going to say when I was an agent and I retired in 1998, that never once was I put in a position to compromise myself. And working with the other agents, we never really felt that we were being put in positions to compromise ourselves, because I wouldn't do it. I would not do it back in those days. It never really even entered my thought, but it somehow, I could kind of see it coming when I retired. I the people that were coming in and politically and that, I'm not surprised that things are like the way they are now. But I'm glad that I was an agent when I was, Pastor Ernie, that you wouldn't be in a situation where you are now. And I work with many FBI agents.
When I get out of the service and I came home, my dad told me, he said, I hate to tell you this, but this country is going to go communist. The communists have infiltrated this country. They've infiltrated every aspect, and they're playing on the ignorance of the people and the apathy. And little by little, they've infiltrated. They're parasitical. And someday the communists will take over America. And I says, not as long as I've got a breath in me. And he said, well, that's the problem. He said, you'll be one of the few to stand and fight. And he said, I'll be gone, okay, when this happens. He says, and he was exactly, absolutely right. He was.
I guess, Pastor Ernie, you got your wisdom like that from your dad.
Yeah, I'm smarter than I look, I can tell you that.
There you go. No comment.
All right. We'll let that go. All righty. Listen, Randy's got an article. He's been wanting to get on this. He's sitting over there.
Okay. Yeah, this one. I think this is a great article. Elderly Michigan lady shot while campaigning against pro-abortion ballot proposal. An 84-year-old volunteer canvasser in Michigan was shot following an argument while distributing pro-life pamphlets door-to-door in her own community, which was Odessa, Michigan, which is near Grand Rapids, about a state abortion proposal. She was taken to the hospital for treatment and later released. She's strong, dedicated, longtime pro-life volunteer who is not easily intimidated, and we're happy she's okay. What's disturbing about this is that Proposal 3 is known as the Right to Reproductive Freedom, RRFI, and is supported by Reproductive Freedom for All, a coalition of groups including the Michigan ACLU and Planned Parenthood. The brief says in part, if passed, the RRFI will endorse Michigan's Constitution, in Michigan's Constitution, the most extreme abortion law in the country. It creates a new, unlimited, unregulated right to abortion and, in addition, undefined right to a reproductive freedom. It also allows a minor to have an abortion without the knowledge or consent of the parents and gives the child the right to procure a sex change without parental knowledge. Also, the Great Lakes Justice Center is also part of this, and it also contends that sex between an adult and a minor will be protected by the amendment as long as the child is in consent. The Great Lakes Justice Center also concludes by stating that the new reproductive freedom right would invalidate numerous existing state proposals for protecting women and children and parents. And that's really kind of disturbing.
Okay, John, here's what I'd like you to do. And I'd like all the people out there, all the people listening, listen, if you're for real, I mean, if you're really for real, if you do believe the word of God. Now, let me tell you, God's word says abortion is murder. God has says abortion is murder. God has said all of those people that come up with that legislation are unclean people. That's what the word of God has said. Now, they call murder reproductive rights. They call pedophilia a right. John, would you please have the people all across the country, we're going to ask them, would you lead us in a prayer asking that God would remove the wicked people that came up with this legislation? These people are wicked, they're ungodly, they're unclean, and that God would raise up some pastors to have the backbone to stand and stand against that. Would you do that? Go ahead.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are becoming a unclean nation, like state by state before you, Lord. Lord, there are people who will make a living out of, and they are driven to kill babies in the womb. There's something about, there's a bloodlust in them, Lord, literally a bloodlust. They can't kill enough babies in the womb. And it's expanded now, Lord, to mutilating little children, wanting to mutilate literally little children, sexually confused, easily led, and mutilate them sexually, Lord. And then, Lord, they want to, again with children that don't know enough, they haven't matured, they want to legalize molesting them, Lord. This is pure, like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Noah. And we're asking, Lord, that you there be, this is in Michigan, and that there would be as your people become aware, they would stand up. This is like all hands on deck, Lord, to thwart this. And not only that, but to cry out to you that people like this can do this. So, Lord, we're asking now that from your people, leadership from the churches, that this would go like wildfire from one end of Michigan to the other, that your people would be running to the polls on election day to vote against this. Lord, that you would raise up a boldness in your people, no more in Michigan, no more in the states here that still have righteousness in them, that we wouldn't tolerate this anymore. And Lord, the people that are perpetuating this, they hate you.
John, we're up against a hard road. Thank you. Hang tight. We'll be back right after.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.